Once again, this is Jim Rowe, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you know we've been talking about two baptisms, the water baptism for repentance and the Holy Spirit baptism for the fire of the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist spoke about this in Matthew 3:11, and it was also spoken about in Mark 1, verse 8, and in both of the other Gospels. And so this subject of two baptisms was taken up by all of the writers of the Gospels, and Paul also took it up throughout the book of Acts, or Luke took it up throughout the book of Acts. And so we have lots of evidence that there are two baptisms and plenty of scriptural backing for the idea, in addition to experience and just the experiential living of the Christian faith. And so we're going to look again here in the book of Acts today. We're going to look again at several of the baptisms of the Holy Spirit in relation also to water baptism, and see how it actually played out, or see in practical everyday terms how it happened in the book of Acts. And I would say, beloved, just as a preamble to what we're getting ready to look at, is that if it happened then, it can happen today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God says, I am the God of I am. He is the God in the past. He is the God of today. He will be the God of the future. And so if it happened then, we can take doctrinal bedrock stance that it will happen again, and that it is happening right now. If it happened in the Bible, then it is a certainty that it can happen again. And so that is what we base our Christian faith on, is that whenever we read in the Bible that events happened, or that certain teachings happened, that Jesus told the disciples, that is a teaching for us as well. It wasn't just for those 12 men or those men that were sitting there on the hillside on that day. It's a teaching for us. That is the way we study the Bible. That is the way we glean from the words of the Bible how to practice our Christian faith, is that whatever God and Jesus taught and the Holy Spirit taught in that day, it also applies and is pertinent to our Christian faith, to our Christian walk, and to this day today. Okay, so if we look at Acts, starting in chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus is talking to the disciples there, and he says to them, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus used the very same terminology that John the Baptist did. He said, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what John the Baptist said, is that he is going to come and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so the Holy Spirit does not do the baptizing. God doesn't do the baptizing. Jesus Christ does the baptizing with the Holy Spirit, and he received it from the Father, and so we know that that is applicable to our Christian walk today. And then in verse 6, Jesus goes on to say, therefore, when they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And when they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And so these two men who were angels then told the disciples that Jesus has been taken from you and he is going to come back in the very same way. And so they spoke about the second coming, the rapture and the second coming. And so they knew from that time on that Jesus was going to be coming back, but they would not know when he's coming back because he left them suddenly. They didn't know when he was going to be leaving. He left suddenly. And, beloved, when he comes back, he's going to be coming back suddenly, and you're not going to know it. All these prognosticators and predictors who are trying to nail down the time of Jesus' return, they are in sin. Jesus said that only God alone, only the Father, knows when I'm coming back. And all these people are trying to make predictions about when Jesus is coming back. They might as well be saving their breath and saving their pen and pencil and their paper, because nobody knows except God the Father. Not even Jesus knows, and so no man knows when Jesus is coming back. We need to be ready. We need to occupy. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to fire the Holy Spirit, so we can get up out of the church pew, or we can get up off the sofa on Sunday morning and get into the body of Christ. And if we're in the body of Christ, if we're in church, we need to get up off the pew and go look for the things that God has us to do, so that we can occupy and be busy and be taking the kingdom Jesus has for us to come here to this earth, the heavenly kingdom, to come here to this earth. It isn't going to come. It isn't going to happen if we just sit around and do nothing. And if we just say, come, Lord Jesus, come, and let your will be done, God, and we do nothing. God is going to sit back, and he's waiting for us to join him in the venture. He's waiting for us to join him in the pursuit and into the battle of bringing the kingdom of heaven down, so that it is established and that it is victorious and moves forward here on the earth. That is his will for you, beloved. That is his will for me, that we get busy, that we occupy. And just as Jesus went up into heaven suddenly, so too he will be coming back. And when he comes back, you better be ready. When he comes back, you will not have any prior notice. And it could be today, it could be next week, could be a year from now, 10 years, who knows? Nobody knows. But the point is, just be ready. Pastor Adrian Rogers had a good quote in regards to being ready. He said, I'm not concerned about being on the planning committee for Jesus' second return. I'm much more concerned about being on the welcoming committee. And so we all need to be on the welcoming committee. We need to be ready when Jesus comes back, and so that we can not have to run and not have to repent on that day, but we can rejoice when we see him coming, and when the angels of heaven come and the trump shall sound and the voice of the archangel shall announce that Jesus is here. We need to be ready to go on that day. The second chapter of Acts, verse 1, then this is when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. They were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And there was about 120 in this upper room, in this house, and they were waiting at this Feast of Pentecost. They were waiting for what Jesus had said for them to wait for, which was the promise from the Father. And that promise was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so then in verse 3, there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so every single person there received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There was none that was passed over. There was none that the Holy Spirit deemed they weren't ready for it, and they, every single one of them, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is God's will for you. If you are hungry and you now know about the Holy Spirit, you now know how to receive the Holy Spirit. You have to be hungry for the Lord. You have to seek him, and you have to cry out for him, and he will give to those who are hungry, and he will give to those who are not proud. He will give to those who have no agenda or no doctrinal statements against the receiving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. These are the ones that receive it. These are the ones that he gives it to. And so now you know, and you have no excuse not to cry out for it. You have no excuse to seek it. And that is God's will, beloved, that you have it. Well, Peter got up and spoke at the day of Pentecost, when he saw all this take place, he knew there was something unusual because he knew the Old Testament scriptures, and he also knew what Jesus had instructed the disciples. And so in verse 16, he gets up and he tells what the prophet Joel had prophesied in regards to the Holy Spirit. And so Peter says in verse 17, this was what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, as signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so Peter explained to them what had happened, that the prophet Joel had prophesied this hundreds of years before, and now they were seeing it actually come to pass right before their very eyes, that the Holy Spirit was being poured out, that they were going to receive the gift of prophecy, that the old men would dream dreams, the young men would see visions, and their servants would prophesy, and their sons and daughters would prophesy, and all of this came to pass right in front of their very eyes. And Peter was astute and spiritually in tune with what was going on, and he also had the instruction from the Lord Jesus, and so he was able to explain it to the people there so that they knew this was what was happening. Well, Peter goes on to preach the first evangelistic message to the people who were standing around there in Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost, and he speaks this evangelistic message, and the people get pricked in their heart, and they ask and they cry out to the Lord. In verse 36 in chapter 2, he says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter said to them, verse 38, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And so Peter preached this great message, and they were pricked to the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, which convicts men of sin. It convicts us of our sin. And so they were pricked to the heart. They were convicted, and they cried out, "What can we do?" And so Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized." He was speaking here of water baptism. And then he said, "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And what he was speaking about there was, you will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe every place in the book of Acts where it talks about receiving the Holy Spirit or the gift of the Holy Spirit, it is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is just like the immersion into the water in water baptism. It is the immersion into the Spirit, the full immersion of the Holy Spirit. That is, you receive all of the Holy Spirit, and you receive everything that God has for you in walking with the Holy Spirit, in knowing the Holy Spirit, in having the Holy Spirit as your counselor, as your advocate, as your teacher. And so God's will is that we receive everything of the Holy Spirit, just as it is His will that when we go down into the water of baptism, we be completely immersed and we be completely covered with the waters of baptism. And so these people then cried out to the Lord, they received, and in verse 39, Peter says, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Well, beloved, there's some of you out there listening to me today, and you have never been baptized, you've never been water baptized, and maybe you've never contemplated it, but if you're listening to me today and you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and you have repented of your sins, you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, then I believe the next step for you, and this is what we have just studied in the Scripture, the next step for you is to be water baptized. If you're in that place today and you don't have a church home, contact a pastor or contact myself, and we can get you water baptized. And then the next step is for you to walk in newness of life as a new believer and walk as a baby Christian and start to study God's Word, start to seek Him with all your heart. And for you and your children, this is God's will. And for all those who are afar off, even in Kansas or any other place on this earth, God is seeking you. He is calling you through the Holy Spirit. He is pricking you of your sin, pricking your heart. And so the response then lies in your court. The response then lies with you to accept the Lord and to cry out to Him and then to follow it up with immersion baptism. Well, in Acts 8, we have an interesting situation here where then the apostles had gone to Samaria and they had baptized some of the men and women there in Samaria. Just as the Scripture said, you will preach in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria. And so here they were down in Samaria. And at verse 14 in chapter 8, it says, "When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had not yet fallen upon any of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, and then Simon, the magician, who is practicing sorcery in the city, he saw that the laying on of the apostles' hands brought the Holy Spirit to them, then he offered the apostles money, and saying, 'Give me this power also, that anyone in whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit.'" Well, back to verse 17, when they laid their hands on these who had already been baptized, then they received the Holy Spirit. And so here we have another illustration of the two baptisms. They'd already been baptized in the name of Jesus in water for the remission of their sins, but the Holy Spirit had not fallen upon any of them because they had not been instructed in the way of the Holy Spirit, and they had not had anybody lay hands on them who had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so these apostles laid hands on them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so we see that as a clear example, a clear illustration of the two baptisms. It isn't necessary, I don't believe, and experientially and also in Scripture, it is not necessary for somebody to lay hands on us to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, although sometimes that can be an aid, sometimes that's a very beneficial thing, and sometimes if we have an opportunity to do that, it's a good thing to do that, but it is not a requirement, it's not a doctrinal statement that we have to have somebody lay hands on us to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to talk about a situation here in the 10th chapter of Acts where that is illustrated, where nobody laid hands on Cornelius's family, and yet they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, this takes up in the 10th chapter of Acts, and I'm not going to go through all of the circumstances and the situation that brought Peter, a Jewish believer, Peter the apostle, and a convert to the Christian faith. He is now in the home of Cornelius, who is a pagan or a Gentile, and Peter was speaking to Cornelius's family in verse 44. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, that is the Jewish believers who believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and then they asked him to stay a few days. And so here we have a situation where Peter is preaching the gospel message to these Gentile believers, these pagan believers, and all of a sudden they began to speak in tongues because they have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They have received this baptism, and the reason why Peter knew that they'd received it was because they started to manifest the gift of tongues, the very same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost there in Jerusalem. Very same thing was just as the Jewish believers began to speak in tongues, and after they had received that Holy Spirit and fire, so too then Cornelius' family is manifesting the gift of tongues and is showing the very same signs that Peter and his Jewish friends had shown. And so then Peter says, who can deny that these people should be baptized? And he's speaking here of water baptism. And so they took Cornelius and his family to the river, and they water baptized them. And so we see again an illustration of the two baptisms happens in the very same way that it happened in the Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and the very same result takes place. They're baptized in water, they're baptized in the Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues as an evidence of the fact that they had received the Spirit baptism. Well, the last scripture that I'm going to talk about today is in Acts 19, and we have here another example of the two baptisms and how it played out in people's lives. And there had been some brothers over in Ephesus that had been baptized in the water in Jerusalem by John the Baptist. And in verse 1, we take it up, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And so they said to him, we have not heard that there is such as the Holy Spirit. In other words, they never even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. And so in verse 3, he said to them, into then what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And so they had been to Jerusalem. They had been baptized by John the Baptist out at the Jordan River, and so they had come to a recognition of baptism for the remission of sins. But because John was not preaching about the Holy Spirit, John was not teaching them, or the people that he baptized, he was not instructing them about the Holy Spirit. And so these brothers went back to Ephesus, which was a long ways away from Jerusalem, and they continued to function with the baptism of water that they had, with the baptism for the remission of sins. But then Paul comes along and tells them that there's something greater. And then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, the men were about 12 in all, and so when Paul laid his hands on them, after they had been water baptized in the name of Jesus, he laid his hands on them, and they too received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They too received, and Paul knew this because they began to speak in tongues, just like Paul did, just like Peter did, just like all the other believers, and Cornelius and his family. So we can see, and we can draw from this, some doctrinal statements that the baptism of the Holy Spirit brings a second baptism, a baptism of fire, and that baptism is manifested in the form of the language of the Holy Spirit. That's how you know people have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire, is that they speak in tongues, which is the language of the Holy Spirit, and they began to utter these languages, which are human languages, possibly an angelic language, but they are human languages for the most part that no person would know were it not for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, beloved, if God is speaking to you today to be baptized, if you've never been baptized, if you've never been water baptized, maybe you were infant baptized or sprinkled or grew up in a denomination that placed no importance upon water baptism, I strongly urge you to get in touch with me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. I can arrange to have you baptized. And also, if you've never been taught or never believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I suggest that you just cry out to the Lord, that you seek Him with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul, and you just get rid of all impediments and you get rid of all doctrinal beliefs or any teachings or any words that have been spoken against the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that fire that comes into you when the Holy Spirit baptizes you, when Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. You just seek it and you don't question it. You don't ask God, well, God, couldn't we do this another way? Or you don't tell God what is best for you. You just receive what He has for you, and you come to Him with the faith of a child. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is made for these children. Suffer the little children to come unto me. In other words, allow the little children to come unto me, because the kingdom of heaven is made for such as these. And that's the way we need to approach God. Beloved, we need to come to Him with the faith of a child and not intellectually challenge everything and not believe that maybe we're smarter than God or we know better than God about how these things should work and how these things should play out in our life. And when you do that, when you come to the Lord with the faith of a child, then He will bless you and He will raise you up and He will exalt you when you humble yourself before His mighty name. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We appreciate hearing from you. We appreciate your support, and we invite you to support this ministry if you never have before, or even if you have before, sit down, write us out a check. We've got a great book to send you for any donations of support, and you'll receive that book as soon as we hear from you. Thank you for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information. Have a great day. God bless you.